It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, is here, Strategic Studies Institute, and we have what appears to be an alarm bell ringing in Peru. Reuters, within these last hours, Peru declares 30-day state of emergency in Lima to tackle rising crime. The explanation from Reuters. The announcement follows protests last week that left one person dead and more than 100 injured. Jerry, the new president, after the impeachment of the former vice president who ascended to the presidency because the Castillo had been jailed, Jerry said the measures starting just after midnight and approved by the Council of Ministers authorizes the deployment of the armed forces alongside the police to maintain public order. He did not provide further details. We have the Constitution. We have the president being jailed. We have the vice president being removed, and now we have a man, Jerry, who has deployed the troops to the streets of La Paz and elsewhere, we can presume. What is the driving story here, Professor?
Well, John, really, it's a bit of a good news story, ironically, which is that the new president, Jose Jerry, who by all means was expected to be really just a transitional president to get us to the spring 2026 election, has moved out very quickly to address the rising insecurity, which was the key thing that forced his predecessor, Dina Boluarte, out of office in conjunction with frustration with her corruption and other things. The overall situation, just to kind of paint what had happened in Peru, because of a combination of different factors, behind the scenes, a lot of cocaine production in various parts of the country, a lot of illegal mining, corruption, a lot of other activities, a lot of Venezuelans and others had come into urban areas where also there was increasing insecurity, especially new areas of greater Lima, for example. And so that combination of things meant that not only deteriorating institutions, but in urban areas, you had increasing extortion against small shopkeepers and other petty crime, and even things like kidnapping. And so just to give you an example, the number of extortions against small shopkeepers reported in places like the Greater Lima area in 2023 was 2,400 reported cases. By 2024, it was 17,000 reported cases. You had things like extortion against public bus drivers, the drivers of the little combi mini buses. Literally 47 bus drivers were assassinated in the Lima area last year for basically, you know, not paying the extortion demands on them. So things were really getting out of control with public violence. There was frustration that Boluarte was not handling it well, in conjunction with also frustration over her, you know, the many accusations of corruption against her, the Rolex watches that she wore publicly that you couldn't afford on president's salary, et cetera, et cetera. And so finally, she was voted out by the Peruvian Congress, which itself was widely seen as is corrupt and fragmented. But so initially, there weren't many hopes when Jose Jerry came in. He had been a relatively consensual candidate who was actually came into Congress as an alternative when a previous president, Martin Vizcarra, actually left. So there weren't high hopes, but he clearly understood that the number one thing that needed to be tackled was public insecurity. Now, there had been state of emergencies in Lima before and other parts of the country under Boluarte. But so from the very beginning, when Jerry came in, in response to a particular incident, there was a rapper by the name of Eduardo Ruiz who was killed, a hip hop star. But, in respect to that, but also the broader situation. He declared the state of emergency in Lima, but he also moved very quickly to set up a intelligence committee to coordinate across police and civil and other intelligence. He reactivated an organization to go after high-profile criminals called the Jain, which, again, was an institution that previously had been used to go after the head of the Shining Path terrorist organization, but in this case to go after some of the high profile criminals. And he actually appointed a respected general, Marco Miyashiro, to it, a Japanese Peruvian. And so he's from the starting gate taken a number of very high profile actions, including getting involved personally. And he has the benefit of being a relatively young, energetic leader. And so he's stepped into this new task, again, with only months remaining before you get to the spring 2026 election, with a certain amount of charisma and a certain amount of proactivity. And so at least provisionally, it's a positive thing. But, you know, he's certainly not the first Peruvian president to impose a state of emergency and try to get his arms around this endemic corruption and insecurity. But it's a hopeful first steps.
Too many villains, too little time. To Caracas, Maduro, hanging on or dug in or bunker filled with ammunition. Choose your metaphor, because right now, Venezuela is in the target zone for the Trump administration. Within these last days, for example, B-52 overflights of Venezuela, adding to the military stance presented to Maduro, go or else, with a large flotilla offshore. Also, the Secretary of Defense announced, Mr. Hegseth announced, two more KIA in what is alleged to have been a drug-running boat off of Colombia's shores, not Venezuela's shores, in international water, I presume, to KIA. This adds to several more boats, I lose count sometimes, five or six, that have been destroyed in these last days. Not arrest, not detention, not out of hand so we fired at them firing at us, just what appears to be a drone strike and the end. I have seen no evidence that they were drug-running boats. The suggestion in some of the media is that they might be fishermen. I don't know, but it seems to me reckless to go into those waters given what's been happening these last weeks. One more detail, and we'll touch upon it. The president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, is making what are wild and determinedly unacceptable remarks these last days, linking what is going on with Maduro and the Trump administration. For example, within these hours, I'm told by the opposition that Petro has communicated in some fashion, perhaps just to the media, that he wants Bernie Sanders to quote, take out Donald Trump. That is not only irrational, it's threatening. These are two countries, Colombia and Venezuela, who have been strong allies of the United States for the 20th century into the 21st, and yet, Professor, let's begin with Caracas. What are the terms now that you understand the Trump administration wants to happen? Maduro, just leave. Maduro, you must face a bar of justice for your conduct. Maduro is not the future, and therefore we're going to take him out. Where are we with Maduro?
Sure, John. Let me try to unpack this. So first of all, it's interesting that in this second President Trump term, he really has focused on the particular vector of the drug threat among the many threats that Venezuela has presented and the many threats that are presented by other countries towards the United States. And so on the one hand, the deployment of this considerable military force, this new joint task force, has among its early tasks focused on those drugs coming in. And certainly the use of lethal force, which is, you know, arguably been questioned by many in terms of its legality and in ethics, but you know, certainly has been intended to have a deterrent effect as well as obviously the immediate destructive effect. And now there are eight different drug boats, and as you alluded to, the latest of the drug boat actions against a drug boat not off of the Venezuelan coast, but actually off of the Pacific coast near Colombia, was an indication that it's not just drugs coming out of Venezuela that the president is going after. But setting that aside for a moment, Venezuela, what I also see is that, to me, this goes beyond just stopping drug boats coming out of Venezuela and really kind of going to the core of Cartel de los Soles, that criminal franchise organization led by Nicolas Maduro and others, Jorge and Delcy Rodriguez, Diosdado Cabello, among others, and trying to essentially, I would say, put an end to that criminal organization, which, and this is, not put too a fine point on it, if that leads Venezuela to a democracy with the restoration of the legitimately elected government of Edmundo Gonzalez, that certainly is a feature. But to me, essentially stopping the harm of this organization, the Cartel de los Soles and Maduro, who has not only sent drugs to the United States, but also the flow of migrants, as well as hosting threats to the United States from Russia, from Iran, from Hezbollah, the partnership with China, which is extended with Venezuela to include military cooperation and other things. And so I think what's happening with this is essentially a calculated series of escalations. You have the drug boats, you have the floating that, there is a talk about land attacks, which, of course, once you start doing land attacks, then the people who are sitting there in the bunker with Maduro say, well, if you're attacking this general over here, then, we in this bunker with Maduro could also be next. The kind of open discussion that by the president, that he had authorized operations by the CIA, which I would presume have been going on in Venezuela for quite some time. But again, more pressure. The B-52 flights, a reminder of the type of firepower that, in addition to the flotilla, you can bring from the United States over. The exercises that are being conducted. So I think all of these things are meant to ratchet up the pressure with the hope that things will take care of themselves in terms of the Venezuelan military trying to save their own skins by, getting rid of this threatening leadership before the U.S. will be stepped in and have to do it. But if the U.S. does have to step in, I would suspect probably in late November, early December, after probably an escalation of other types of activities on the ground, you could see a major operation again to essentially decapitate, to basically take out the Cartel de los Soles leadership, and thus open up the democratic transition without necessarily pushing for U.S. boots on the ground to ensure the transition to democracy. And then finally, with respect to Colombia, again, a worrisome situation, but certainly Gustavo Petro, whose policies with respect to total peace, with respect to permitting essentially the explosion of cocaine production and other things, he has certainly gotten on President Trump's bad side. This is a fight that Gustavo Petro certainly does not want to pick. He's certainly shown his enthusiasm for saying ridiculous things at bad times, that in ways that earn the ire of President Trump, Marco Rubio. The last bout was him essentially trying to rally against the United States over actions against Israeli actions against Gaza while he was there on the ground at the UN General Assembly in New York, something for which the U.S. actually took away his visa. And so now this latest round with President Trump essentially calling him a narco dictator and saying that the U.S. was going to suspend all aid to Colombia and perhaps increase commercial tariffs, something that the U.S. actually technically has not yet done, but certainly President Trump has threatened to do so. And now, of course, Gustavo Petro's response, essentially calling President Trump a thug and a mafia-like figure, and calling on Bernie Sanders as well as the rest of the free world to, save poor Colombia from being invaded by President Trump. Again, this is just not a productive exchange of discourse, and probably will not endear President Trump to, Gustavo Petro anymore. So I think at the end of the day, if this brings more reprisals down on Colombia at a time when they are already in a difficult situation with their armed forces and the struggle against cartels, they're already in a difficult situation with respect to the economy, thanks in large part to Gustavo Petro. They're in a difficult institutional situation in the fight against the corruption that comes from narco trafficking and illegal mining. And so, this will not be helpful for Colombia, and I worry that if Colombia radicalizes and is forced more into the hands of collaborating with the Chinese and the Russians and others, at the end of the day, it's not going to be productive for the U.S. as well. But we seem to be going down at least this rhetorical spiral that hopefully at the end of the day, cooler heads will prevail in terms of shepherding Colombia to at least a less self-destructive path as we move towards Colombia's elections and the possibility of a return to what I would think of as more responsible government after the spring 2026 elections.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, New World Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.